Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this October the 11th on the West Coast, now October the 12th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. October 12th, that's the birthday of Christopher Columbus, they tell us. Can't tell us when presidents were born, but they can tell us when Christopher Columbus was. This date is important for a couple of reasons. More recently, don't think about 1492 or any of those years. I think the significance of this date has more to do with the date in the year 2000. We had a World Trade Center bombing that occurred. And the same day in 2004, the Bali nightclub bombing. And those were very, very suspicious, especially when you work out the numerology for the two events. They point to two individuals, one who was a president and one who was going to become a president. And so we should be wary on this day. I'm not fear-mongering here. I'm just telling you, be wary, be watchful, and stay close to God. What else can I say? Well, our regular, I want to welcome, first of all, the Wind Talkers Radio Network people around the world who are tuned into the show tonight. I got to spend 2 hours with my good buddy, Drew Malone Raines III, and we covered a number of topics, some of which we're going to cover tonight. My regular guest, Dr. A. True Watt, had to excuse himself tonight for health reasons. We wish him well and a speedy recovery. In the wings, I have our good friend, who is a polymer chemist. He is a chemtrail opposition researcher, a writer himself, and a frequent guest on many radio shows, and certainly here on Evident Footprints. In fact, he's going to be our Wednesday night guest, and he was kind enough to fill in for Dr. Ott tonight. My good friend, Dr. Mike Castle. Dr. Castle, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, John. And good evening to you, and my best goes out to Drew as well. You know, those are big shoes to fill. One of those about 13, 14 year true.
He's a big man. He's a big man.
Well, look, thanks for inviting me on. I always look forward to it.
No, I'm happy you could join me. I wasn't up to doing a monologue tonight, and he did give me plenty of time to contact someone, but these things happen, and I guess he just wasn't feeling up to par and didn't want to try to focus on what we're saying while he's enduring some pain. So he'll be all right, though, I'm sure. He's going to have to rest, that's for sure. I want to let the listening audience know this. You already know this, Dr. Mike. I got some photos about a week ago from a very dear friend, and I had the time to post them on my website. So if you're interested in looking at some chemtrail photos being mitigated by a craft from other worlds, go to directlightproductions.com, click on photos, then click on chemtrails and flying saucers. And there's a brief explanation of what's there. You will find that these pictures are very interesting, and these are not birds, they're not bugs, they're not ice crystals, they are flying saucers and another type of craft that's in a couple of the photos. a hexagonal craft that I'm told is from the Pleiades. So we have the craft of the United Galactic Federation and at least one from the Pleiades. And that's in photos number 1 and 2, should you go there. And I hope you do, really, because these are interesting. Dr. Castle, you got a chance to look at them before tonight's show. What's your impression?
Well, I did. I just looked at them this evening for the first time, Don. And what the impression I get is, boy, they were really putting the stuff down. And it seemed like it was a fairly low altitude for that large of a fan or a spray.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was very interesting. But looking at the one photograph, in fact, shows their mitigation almost as like instant evaporation or something. I'm not certain what that technique is. I'd sure like to know.
Yeah, well, they weren't even able to allow the sylphs to get there. You know, the sylphs usually move in.
I've seen those today, by the way.
This was a actually the first five photos were taken on the 22nd of September, and then the other photos were taken on the 20th. One might ask why I put them in that order. Well, they just seem to look good that way. So I put them up there because the first couple of photos really have some clear shots. But the other photos do, too. As you look, you can see, if you look very carefully, you can see some craft that are either cloaking, or in the process of cloaking or uncloaking. They can be seen somewhat, but they don't have the brilliance or the luminescence that the right. one particular craft does. And in a few of these photos, you can clearly see more than one craft. Now, these photos were taken by a former skeptic who is aware of my contact with the Federation and General Jeremiah. And you can't, you know, folks, when you're taking a picture, how many pictures do you take that have orbs and things in them? Very seldom. But when you're taking pictures of the sky and you come up with these on a consistent basis, and they don't have wings, and they don't have tail feathers, and they don't have beaks and claws, you can pretty much assume that they're flying saucers. So,
however you would prefer to describe it to yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
If they're orbs, that means they're around, and they normally have luminescence, as you said. Some, you know, brilliant luminosity.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the ones that are not these types of craft. They're the ones that are, I keep thinking that they're trans-dimensional, and they look very, very closely related to a lot of them that we've seen that were built by the Germans here back in the 20s and the 40s, about in those time eras. You know, they built some relatively eager type looking craft all together. But you can see them today. They do have that, it appears to have that trans-dimensional feature, even though they work principally by the propulsion is gravionics more than anything else, which is just three counter-rotating in its axis gravity fields.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's not really, I guess even the old ones still work well, but I read that preface about back in the old days. I guess the Germans were in fact were trying to make a craft to go through time. That's what the origination of this levitation craft was all about. I think I sent you a copy of that. But you know, there's one thing that we've got to be wary of. I spotted this last week, Don. And I said virtually nothing to anyone about it. Did a few because I kept getting these and they wanted to know what I thought about these. And I said, look, as far as I'm concerned, this is nothing more than a massive disinfo campaign orchestrated, I'm going to take a wild shot at this, by the Pentagon to in fact dumb the populace down into thinking that there ever were anything such as ETs on the face of this earth. Look, they were German. We just didn't tell you about it. Mm-hmm. But no, you know, and even Wernher von Braun, they dug up his old bones to get him to, in fact, become a skeptic. I wanted to ask Dr. Carol Rosen that question about Wernher von Braun. I mean, did he, in fact, make that unprophetic proposition that there were no such thing as an ET and invasion because it's all been made up? No, he didn't do that. But nonetheless, that's what they're spoon-feeding everybody. These craft are all just old news. They're from here. What they're doing, they're trying everything they can to keep it from tracing back to these beings that have been identified throughout the galaxy and throughout the universe, both the white hats and the crocodile skins, mm-hmm. You know, and the Zetas. I mean, they just do anything they can just to be quiet about that. Be quiet. This is nothing to do with ET, guys. But I've noticed that there is a campaign to push this forward. And then what I mentioned to you earlier, I think I've pinned down the exacting chemistry of these chemtrails that, in fact, are virtually undetectable, but they're based on a manganese hexafluoroacetate. In fact, they're a trihydrate, and they're super dehydrators of one thing. And I knew that's what they were trying to do because they tail these with these made clouds I call dehydrator bulldozers, and they go through and just pull moisture out of everything, whether the moisture is there or not. Yes, it kills the foliage, it kills the trees, because it's like UV, ultraviolet light, but it's a dehydration wave, if you will, because they've enhanced these with the bromides. And I can tell you, the only thing, when I see those, get the relative humidity up in the house that you're in or the place that you're at most of the time to at least 86% or more. Keep it very, very high, and that will keep you from getting all these other things that they're unleashing at the same time. So just a footnote. But those that I've seen in those photographs that the former skeptic took, and I know who that is, these are not unusual, but they're. I looked at the brilliance of the sky, and I could see that other type of chemtrail activity there. You can always spot it when you are able to look towards the horizon of any of these places. Let's just say you have that effectively blue sky. It's not azure blue by no stretch of the imagination. You can see fuzziness in it. But if you look at the horizon and you see a curtaining effect of light, in other words, up above it is a darker area, and then as you come down to the horizon, all of a sudden it becomes brilliant. It becomes Tyndall. And at sunset, you can actually see the aura of the sunset wrap around almost entirely 90 degrees to the north from the west. And in fact, you can see this curtaining of light effect all over. It almost goes past north. Now, I've seen this so many times. I know a lot of people have taken photographs of that. But this is representation of this newer technology that I believe they've unleashed, because manganese has got some really, really horrible problems when it comes to prion's disease and things that have been identified back in the year 2001 by a number of individuals, including a Dr. Purdy from over in the UK, and they summarily silenced him. But I've got his original paperwork, and it talks about this thing such as the mad cow disease, prion's disease, and the acceleration of these types of brain disorders using manganese, basic manganese, and then using a super dehydration technique, in fact, with a dibromide. You just got all the mixings of they're just accelerating this to the point where you don't know that it's going on, but it is. Not only have they created super massive drought regions by pulling moisture out of the ground, not just normal emissions from saturation and warming of the earth and water moisture vapor, they're sucking it way down out of the ground and everything else, including vegetation. Mm-hmm. You remember Barry's comments about vegetation dying. This is one of the clear examples of how that works.
Now, you can see these chemtrails in these photographs being mitigated pretty rapidly. And every picture has got a craft in there. You have to look, folks. If you leave it on slideshow, you know, I suppose I could slow it down a little bit, which I may do this evening after the show. But there are anywhere from one to four or more craft in the average photo. Some look like black dots. There's actually a V in one of the pictures. I think it was number 21, either 20 or 21. It's a little V in the upper left-hand corner. That's actually a craft moving, and it was creating sort of a trail of sorts, and you can see where it stops. The person that took these pictures thought it might have been a triangular craft, and I said, no, if you look closely and magnify it, you can see that there's a craft up there, but the V is not the craft. It's like a trail. Could have been something that they were mitigating. But these, you can see in picture number one, which was taken 2 days later. First five pictures were taken 2 days after the first set, which are dated. They're all dated, and the first five are timed and numbered. Having seen chemtrails, both photographers decided that they would just document the chemtrails. Didn't expect to see the craft, but once they started seeing the craft, they kept snapping pictures. And that's what you got to do. I was really happy to see the detail. It's there. And, of course, the craft move around in the sky as well. I can assure you this wasn't Photoshopped. any thoughts you want to share on that, Dr. Mike, before we go into maybe a couple of other topics?
Did you talk to the person that provided the photos yet?
Oh, yeah. I talked to that person before I got the photos.
I'm just curious as to what their response might have been to your reaction. Am I looking at that correctly? Actually, I seen one on the one photo. Let me get the number here. It looks like a green disc.
Mm-hmm. That's how their craft looks during the daytime when they're mitigating chemtrails.
Turns them green, huh?
At night, at dusk or at nighttime, they glow more of a white color. So I don't know if this is just a phenomenon of the light or that's how it appears.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the craft in the daytime in certain places. You know, I've seen it flying in an airplane, coming out of the clouds, and it was white. But in this case, it's definitely sort of a turquoise or a lime green. Very, very interesting.
I'd go with the lime green. Looks fairly close.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. This sky, is that northern latitudes?
That's upstate Michigan.
Okay.
So
yeah, that's northern latitudes. Well, I don't know what else to say about these other than the fact that hooray, for those guys doing that kind of work. Yeah, it's very visible. The green disk is very visible.
Well, people have remarked all over the planet that they've seen this. What is very interesting is that in the past week, things have cleared up drastically because there was a warning about the undesirable use of the HARP array to bombard the ionosphere and cause havoc with the weather. And certain people were warned about it. So then we had some pretty decent weather that followed that. That doesn't mean that they've gotten their senses back, you know.
Well, no, and I think I was that yesterday or this morning. I was talking to you about my little venture with my wife, and took a short trip, and I was virtually gleeful because I remember they trailed off, they diminished markedly from the first of this past week. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I just had this almost joy, you know. I didn't want to be a skeptic anymore. I wanted to believe that there wasn't anything in the atmosphere. And I more or less proven that to myself Saturday. It was late in the afternoon, I would say almost evening, before sunset. And I just remember going south, driving in a car, and the sky was very blue. It was clear. It was clean. I didn't see any of the curtaining effect. I didn't see any of the hiding of aircraft in the sky. I actually seen one traveling west, and I could see it very, very far away. And that excited me because I could just see. And then when the stars came out, you know, we could see those, and they were clear. I got a good look at the Pleiades, and that's how clear the sky is if you can count at least five of the seven there. And on these diminished skies, you can't. But being as it may, Don, I was gleeful. The very next day, that's Sunday, 10-10-10, about 9:30, on the road again, heading north, and in fact, still really nice in southern Ohio, southern Indiana. Then as we got towards Columbus, I looked up, and I will say that about 20 to 30 miles away, you could see this, whatever it was in the air, and the closer you got, you just knew what it was. It was a great, huge rectangular patch of chemtrails that were laying virtually right over, well, it looked like right over Columbus. Mm-hmm. But we now figured it's 20 miles south of Columbus and about 5 miles wide. And the closer you got to it, you could actually, it looked like, I'll be darned, it was like barcoding. It was like a bunch of barcodes written.
Cap and trade is on the way, you remember.
Say again?
Cap and trade is on the way. You know.
Well, I was just so enraged I couldn't see straight. You know, I was calling, I was saying prayers, and I was calling for General to, hey, look at this. And the more we got into the capital city, the more you could see them, and they were everywhere. So if they stopped, they done it when, obviously, very, very conditionally, because this morning, I got a call at 9 from a good friend here in town, and she, too, was just sick. They just ripped the skies up. They ripped the skies up with the chemtrails, and these were the super dehydrators, the same thing, but they were visible. They were the white plumes, probably full of aluminum. But it's virtually sickening. So I kind of told everybody I could, in fact, tell about 3 to 4 o'clock, you're going to have what they call peak groundfall. Peak groundfall is what the trails that you look at in the sky. In fact, the heavier components actually make it to groundfall. and they do fall quite rapidly now as opposed to when they first started out. They made them aerodynamic. They could virtually stay aloft forever, and probably did. But these here have some very, very significant groundfall features, including when they hit the ground. I mean, you're in that air column at that time, and the air, in fact, is full of the dibromides and the super dehydrators. So that's what I said. You know, get your humidity up. About 3 or 4 o'clock today, it was a very critical time to get the humidity up. So we'll watch to see everything else as it trails off. But if the generals listen, I'm telling you, man, you talk about somebody lied to you. Because they, in fact, were using the HARPs very, very significantly, even as early as this morning. I'm looking at HARPs, and I know where the NEXRAD radars are at, and I know, in fact, when they fire them up, when there's a line of showers comes through. And you could see the ones going off at Michigan City, Indiana. All the way up through those areas there, they had these radars just, in fact, blooming and blossoming, because there's the propulsion unit that they use, in fact, that works like a duplexing unit for the HARP anyways, to the wind towers. Mm-hmm. So I can tell you, we got a real big redose of the whole daggone thing just in the last day or two.
Yeah. Now, regarding the craft, those that want to try to debunk this and say that these are not alien craft, the government wouldn't admit that they're theirs because they don't exist. Remember? That's what right. You've told us, right? Exactly. They don't exist. You know, come on, folks. Let's grow up and admit that you've lied. For over 100 years, you've been lying. You've actually been lying for thousands of years.
Thank you. Yes.
You know.
I think that's very evident anyways. Once anybody takes a look at this and see how long these mongrels have been around here doing the same thing to humans, and in fact, that's what they're trying to do now, and that's to clip our DNA and, in fact, somehow or another mutate it again. That's with the conversations that Dr. Ott has brought up about something I think is extremely significant when he, in fact, said that what he said about Newt Gingrich being the pick of the cream of the crop. Yeah, well, that's what I said. That's old Rupert's bud.
Oh, he was kicked out of Congress a while back. You remember he was Speaker of the House?
I certainly do.
Now they can bring him back. It doesn't matter now. I suppose you can bring the janitor in, too, for that matter. Run him as the vice president. He'll probably do a better job.
Let me ask you a question about Gingrich first. Wasn't that about the same era that the gentleman wrote the Franklin cover-up, the Franklin report? My question is there anything in there about Newt Gingrich? Because I seem to think I remember something along those lines, but I'm not certain.
No, Gingrich came somewhat after that. That was 1979 that book was released. And the newspapers were picked up out of Washington. Out of all the vending machines and, you know, wherever they dump them in mass. You know, they sent all the agents out to pick them up, but they didn't quite get all of them. And
I remember somebody in Florida was listening to their cell phone, and all of a sudden they picked up Newt Gingrich's conversation with somebody, and there was this great big question about privacy and, yeah, you know, they recorded it. Those people were nothing but plants anyways.
Yeah. As I recall, wasn't it like during the Clinton administration that he was speaker? I don't know the exact year.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. You know, whatever happened to Sarah Palin? Oh, my God. I'm going to shift gears here for a moment.
Go ahead.
Since we're getting into politics, that's a perfect segue you did there, and you didn't even know what I was going to do. Give us a chance to catch our breath and sip of water or coffee or whatever your favorite beverage is, and we're going to listen to an important message.
Let's be very honest about what this is about. It's not about taxes. They have no idea what the Boston Tea Party was about.
That's right.
They don't know their history at all. This is nothing but a bunch of tea-bagging rednecks.
Was a country born in the wake of a war in 1776. When some country boys started making noise, fed up with the politics. They had their hand on a Bible and a black powder rifle with a hunger for being free. And when the redcoats came and more boys took aim, saying, "Brother, don't tread on me." And they cried, "Hey, Mr. Politician, you might want to listen to us now. You better pay a little more attention to the man living by the plow. Cause there's a line in the sand and you're crossing it, man. We're getting poor while we're making you rich. We the people stood strong for way too long. So we're never gonna stand for this.
We the people.
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 Now we still got fearing flag waving daughters and sons, the same blood running through our veins. We're American made and we won't be swayed or blown by the wind to change. They're still greedy politicians who just won't listen, got their hands where they don't belong. But now it's in our hands to take back our land. If you're with me, won't you sing along? Hey, hey, Mr. Politician, you might want to listen to us now. You better pay a little more attention to the man living by the plow. There's a line in the sand and you're crossing it, man. While you're blowing every dollar you get. We the people stood strong for way too long. We're never gonna stand for this.
We hold these truths to be self-evident.
That all men are created equal.
That they are endowed by their Creator
with certain inalienable rights.
Among these are life.
Life, liberty.
Liberty and the pursuit of happiness.
With a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence.
Whenever any form of government
becomes destructive.
Whenever any form of government becomes destructive.
It is the right of the people to alter it.
It is the right of the people to alter it.
There'll be a hammer coming down.
You have awakened the sleeping giant.
Next time November rolls around. As we ride. Politician, you might want to listen to us now. You better pay a little more attention to the man living by the plow. Cause there's a line in the sand and you crossed it, man. Why you're blowing every dollar you get.
Every dollar released from taxation that is spent or invested will help create a new job.
We the people stood strong for too dang long.
When freedom shivers in the cold shadow of true peril, it's always the patriots who first hear the call.
We the people stood strong for too dang long. So we're never gonna stand, we're never gonna stand for this.
Somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest for rights.
And we're never gonna stand.
Government is not the solution to our problem.
You think we're gonna stand for this?
Government is the problem.
No, 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 no. Yeah, we're always gonna stand. But we're never gonna stand.
I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
That's Never Gonna Stand for This, Teacher Clark. And Dr. Mike sent that to me. Surprised how fast I can do that, huh?
That is. That is amazing. Actually, in that song, We the People, don't you think that they've got us confused? They don't call them We the People. They think we said Weebles.
Yeah.
They look at it as Weebles, and I just wonder why most people think that they think that there is any kind of equality whatsoever. They don't. What evidence do you have that they in fact believe that we are equal to anything?
Mm-hmm.
I'd just like to know that, because I can tell you they stand for nothing that has anything with equality. They stand for serfdom class, and in fact, we're the serfdom.
Yep. And I want to let people know that they can get this song at iTunes. Just Google iTunes. Never Gonna Stand for This. And it's also on YouTube and a couple of other websites. I'm sure it's going to catch fire, especially with an election coming up. But these are the kind of messages that people need to hear. You know, the comment up front, you know, that was from a political interview. And, you know, to call people in the Tea Party rednecks when it's been infiltrated by intelligence agents is kind of ironic, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Are they?
Yeah, from the top down, it's been infiltrated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's a lot of people that are... Their hopes and aspirations and dreams go with that, and I don't I won't try to tone them down or tell them don't get your hopes up. I would just tell them, look at your voting machines and who makes them in the place that you are voting. If they're Diebold or their prime subsidiary, I forget the name of that, I can tell you, your patriotism doesn't count.
Yes, yes. Now, this afternoon on Drew Range Show, I played a clip from MSNBC, which discussed the issue of fraudulent foreclosures. I'm kind of tempted, since you're from Ohio, I'm kind of tempted to have you hear this.
Mm-hmm.
You want to hear it?
Certainly.
It's not music now, it's talk. But it's kind of interesting to hear what's being said, because you heard that comment made about the Tea Party people up front in this last clip that I played, and the interview that you're about to hear, the question is posed, why isn't the Tea Party doing anything about it, about this foreclosure thing? Every time the Tea Party people come forward to speak, they're painted as nuts and wackos. And now you heard a Zionist interviewer use the term redneck. Okay, why is that okay for them to use that term redneck? Really?
why isn't it when we're not supposed to be referring to them as Zionist pigs, are we?
No, no. So,
speaking of pigs,
before I play this clip, this issue of the mosque at Ground Zero, a few people came up with the idea of putting pig's blood on the ground. And to me, I mean, you can wash it off and those people wouldn't care. The blood of 3,000 people is in the vicinity, and the DNA. From those buildings that were brought down on 9/11/2001, that doesn't seem to bother them. I'd say save the pigs and just get some pig iron and stick it in the sidewalk, put a sign on it that reads, "The pole that's holding up this sign is made of pig iron." It's all you'd need to do. Okay.
Mr. Nikoloff, you're a genius. That's a great idea. That's a good idea. Kind of a macabre philosophy you got there, but I'd say it works.
Pig iron.
Pig, right? Iron.
But you save the pigs, you know?
That's a good idea. This... what we're talking about is this thing that's you were talking about the foreclosures. You know, that's something that has, you can tell when they launch these things. Like I told you, I think it's the Pentagon that's launched this disinfo wait campaign, in fact, to get most to think that, no, it's not ETs. It's the old Germans, you know. We got this stuff. And, yeah, that's ours. Yeah. But they're not going to admit it. But that's what they're trying to do.
Now this,
you know,
this
differently.
This is really about illegal aliens, but they don't mention illegal aliens, okay? And in fact, this clip just scratches the surface, but it's going to open up the discussion. So here we go.
I just know somebody broke into my house.
Did they kick the door in? How did he get the door open? Do you know?
I don't know.
One woman's harrowing run-in not too long ago, not with a burglar, but what turned out to be a J.P. Morgan henchman sent to change her locks.
Not knowing who was actually at my door or how many people or if the person had a gun, a knife, a sex offender, I was just frightened to death. I would say that the banks are robbing American people in plain English.
That story, just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to lenders trying to speed or fraudulently foreclose in this country. But why would the banks be so anxious to behave this way? And why would politicians in the Treasury Department allow them to do it? Take a look.
Most mortgages are backed by the government. In order for a bank to get that sort of backing, it must fit two criteria. One, borrowers must be verified by the banks and their agents as qualified. And two, the lenders must fill out paperwork accurately and make sure that when the home's title changes hands, so too does the documentation. But during the past two decades, a whole lot of the time, that never happened. Why is that? For the banks, the motive's simple. Money. Banks profited by packaging and selling those toxic home loans, and then profited again by betting against those same securities. A bet, in essence, that a fraudulent loan they made wouldn't be paid back. But why would politicians allow this? The simple answer? To stay in office. Giving people houses makes them happier and makes local politicians more popular. At the same time, the financial services sector, the banks making all that money, were donating to the political campaigns. In 2008, the financial sector was the top donor to both Democratic and Republican candidates. So where are all these fraudulent loans now? Well, you own them at the Federal Reserve, Fannie Mae, and Freddie Mac. In order to cover it up, the banks and politicians will do whatever it takes to prevent a legitimate foreclosure proceeding, one that would easily reveal the lack of qualifications and bad documentations in the loans the banks have been selling and giving to the government for years. And finally, the last and most important why. Why isn't our government dealing with it now? Perhaps because that would reveal systematic criminal and civil fraud at the highest levels of America's banks and political corridors.
And we know who's fighting for the banks with all the money going to our politicians. Again, from the president on down the line, no one has given more money to all of our politicians in the financial services industry. Question is, who's fighting for everybody else? And joining us now is Jennifer Brunner, Ohio Secretary of State. She's launched an investigation into the specific foreclosure proceedings in her state. And Carl Denninger, author of The Market Ticker, who caught my attention today with his fiery open letter to California Democrats on this very topic. He is also one of the founders of the Tea Party movement, going back to this original issue a few years ago. Jennifer, I'll begin with you. Can you give us a sense of what you see as the problem on the foreclosure side right now in your own state?
Hi, Dylan. I'm Secretary of State of Ohio, and I license the notaries in my state who notarize documents, for instance, for some of the home finance companies, the banks that are processing these foreclosure documents. What we're seeing is, for instance, eight notaries notarizing 18,000 documents a month, and hearing stories that the notary's filling in information in the document, handing it to the signer, who's actually named as an officer of multiple banks and signing multiple documents to create a chain of title or a list of owners, and then the notary handing it back to the signer signing it, and then the notary notarizing it. I don't have the authority to actually revoke these notaries or to prosecute, so I sent it to the Justice Department in August to have them take a look at it.
And have you heard back from them?
I've been in some contact, and out of respect for the Justice Department, I said that I finally called in late September and said, am I allowed to say anything about the fact I've referred it to you? And I was given the go-ahead.
Okay. Listen, Carl, I want to read everybody a little bit of an excerpt of this letter you wrote today. Very powerful. You say, this is clear evidence that these securities, the core of all the foreclosure and housing mess, are fatally defective. You say there is no solution to this problem that is both lawful and yet preserves the fiction that all is well with this edifice, yet at the same time protects the chain of title and housing and the rights of both homeowners and securities buyers. It's almost as if you're saying we can keep the system we have, but then we have to forfeit our sense of property rights in this country, or if we want to reestablish property rights in this country, we have to deal with the fraud or the malpractice that is at the core of this. Is that a fair interpretation, Carl?
Yeah, that's essentially the problem. I mean, what's happened here, Dylan, is that these people, at the inception of all of these loans, knew they weren't any good. We now have this. It's been discussed in FCIC hearings, and yet these securities were packaged into these specific types of conduits. The problem is the IRS regulations say you have to convey the paperwork, and in addition to that, there are specific standards for the amount of non-performing assets or things that you could foreseeably see a default on that can go into these structures. You can't get there from here when 30 to 90% of these notes are found not to be in conformance, and that's the testimony that we've had over the last 6 months. So you can't go back and unbreak this egg. It's already happened. Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall. We now have either a bunch of these structures that were put together with defective instruments, or the instruments were never conveyed in the first place. And because the dates have passed where you can add things into these structures, there is no fix for this without violating the tax preference. I don't know how you solve this problem. The only thing I can come up with is force this bad paper back onto the originators, repay the MBS holders who bought these things thinking they were good securities and actually bought an empty box.
I'm going to interrupt you a little bit just because we're dealing with I want to make sure that anybody who's watching this can understand what it is that you're saying. The point is that the people who bought a lot of these toxic securities was your pension fund, the teacher's pension fund, the judge's pension fund, the police and firefighters' pension fund. And those pension funds were sold these mortgages on the belief and verification, both from the ratings agencies, from the banks, and implicitly from the government, that those loans were good. And when we find out that the loans were not good through these foreclosure processes that they're trying to avoid, you either have to pay back the pension that you've raped, or you have to ignore it and continue to drive the system the way that it's being driven, but that doesn't seem to be politically viable much longer. If you look at this, Jennifer, how much longer can we avoid dealing with the core issue of banks making money by selling non-conforming loans to the government by the trillion, and then going forward, betting on their collapse, and then donating the profits to politicians who say it's okay?
Well, this was part of the reason why I made the referral to the Justice Department. I knew this was happening across state lines, and I also knew that the notary issue was really the tip of the iceberg, that when you start to look at how sloppy the banks have been at keeping their chains of title in line. I mean, they ask consumers and tell consumers they have to follow the letter of the contract between the bank and the consumer, whether it's a credit card or whether it's a home loan. At the very least, the bank should have to follow the letter of the law. In this case, I knew that we would find situations where there was not only sloppy notarization, but actual lapses and gaps that really leave the final person who's bringing the foreclosure action in a position where it may not even be good, and where clearly you've got a homeowner who may want to find out who really is the party in interest, or have an attorney for them look into predatory lending, and it's very difficult to even get to the bottom of that.
Yeah, Carl, if you were to look at the core issue here, which is that the savings of America was the piggy bank that this type of product was being sold to, that the savings of America, whether it's the New York State pension managers or any, I went up to list all the various pensions, are the ones that got stuck with a lot of this paper, not to mention Fannie, Freddie, and now the Federal Reserve. If you were to look at that core issue, and then you were to look at the understandable anger, not just from the Tea Party, which I know is a constituency that you were catalytic to at its beginning, but across the entire political spectrum, why do you think we haven't seen the organized focus from the Tea Party on this issue in a way that is effective, and for that matter, an organized focus from anybody else who's pissed off, whether they're a Tea Party or not, on this issue? Why do you think it doesn't get addressed politically?
Well, Dylan, you just got to look at this from the standpoint, you don't present false documents if you have real ones, okay? So the reality is the real ones are gone, they were intentionally obscured, and if you start to look at this, what if we find out that of the $6 trillion of securities that are out there outstanding right now, half or more of them are defective? You put them back on the banks, and they all blow up. You know what? We have a resolution authority under Frank Dodd. How about if we use it?
Can I leave it right there? Because I would love to see them use it, especially if this is all fraud. Jennifer Brunner, Ohio Secretary of State, Carl Denninger, author of The Market Ticker. I hope you'll both come back, and I hope that the two of you remain as vigilant on this issue of the compromising of property rights in this country as I intend to. And if you're watching this program, please take the time to either rewatch this segment, or if you can't believe everything that you have just heard, and you're interested in learning more about it or have the opportunity to reread it to understand it. I understand it is technical. I advise you to check out not only The Market Ticker and Carl's open letter, but a blog that I posted today to the front page of the Huffington Post that explains just how deep-seated this problem is in this country, entitled Property Rights Gone Wrong, that now atop the Huffington Post. If the banks have stuck a bunch of fraudulent loans with the Federal Reserve, Fannie and Freddie, and are trying to cover it up with foreclosure fraud, well, please, let us see the Justice Department do something to defend the American people as opposed to the largest banks in this country for a start.
That said, Dr. Mike, I've been talking about this for the past 4 years. I've been writing about it, literally describing the methods used to be fraudulent. They're using the internet to do that, of course. Mm-hmm. They're using proprietary channels that they have, the undersea cables, the foreign banks, attorneys, judges, politicians, city councilmen, and many participants in legal processes, in child protective services, divorce court, or the family courts, if you want to call it that, bankruptcy court. And these lump sum pooling of these funds into derivatives and hedge funds. Fidelity is the major player in that. Now, the banks that they use, the banks that they mention at the top of this are GMAC, Bank of America, GMAC. Is that any surprise to anybody after the bailout? And J.P. Morgan. There's no mention of Countrywide, no mention of First American Credco, also in Santa Ana, California. They do mention gratuitously Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, but they don't talk about the corruption that occurred there. Going back to HUD during the Clinton years and Henry Cisneros, HUD was raided. They have a habit of raiding the pension funds, and they're talking about all these different pension funds that are worthless. What they don't tell everybody is that they're giving IOUs to government employees in states like California, and this is going on everywhere now. They're cutting teachers' jobs. They're laying them off or firing them or giving them buyouts. Where does this money come from? And then the foreign banks end up in court losing cases because it's not known by many people that when they're foreclosing on you, it's illegal because they don't own the title. They call them toxic assets. What made them toxic? The whole Ponzi scheme is toxic. It's nothing but a Ponzi scheme. It's nothing but outright corruption from day one. And they intentionally drive the values of the real estate down. And then that enables them to go in then, when they're able to pull this off without anybody figuring out what's going on, to pay pennies on the dollar for something that they're not even going to pay for. They never lent the money in the first place, let alone buy it back. They're not paying anybody any money. Do you actually think money changes hands when that happens? You know, and in the event that they tear the houses down, for sure the loans aren't going to be paid back then. And so those that are playing the put options in the derivatives are making a killing. And the banks are doing that too. Massive corruption, you see. Now, I would play this on video if I could watch it, but there's so much shape-shifting going on during this thing. and it's just the face that's shape-shifting. So I'll leave it at that. We've got a caller on the line here. Caller, would you identify yourself? And please stick to a question or one comment pertaining to this topic. Go ahead. Well, hello. Do we have a caller on the line, Seth? Not hearing anybody. Going once, going twice, goodbye. Okay, well, I guess we don't have a caller on the line.
Did you hear Cincinnati are going to have to lay off at least 100 and some firefighters? Based on what the commentary about, this was taken from your pension fund. And the first thing I heard, if they don't pass this levy, if they don't, in fact, I'm just thinking, I wonder how many of those firefighters, in fact, lost their pensions to the same thing. I would probably venture to say every one of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, most cities are operating, cities and towns in this country are operating in terms of their general fund by raiding the water department fund or the sewer department fund. And transferring those monies into the general fund and then spending it on themselves. Mm-hmm. It's happening everywhere. And it's another type of corruption, but they think because they're allowed to make the laws that it's okay. They raid the perpetual care fund. I know of two towns in north central Ohio that do this and they've taken as much as $10 million, maybe even more. This is probably something that's been going on for 50 or 100 years. But by law, they're only allowed to use the interest-bearing portion of that account. So people pay for a cemetery plot, and the money they pay, the interest-bearing portion, is used to hire a couple of people to mow the lawns, rake the leaves, shovel the snow, keep everything clean and presentable and do their duties there, 10% of the interest. They've stolen in these two towns at least $10 million out of that perpetual fund with a zero balance in the account. Now, we have a caller here again. I think it's the same caller. Caller, if you didn't hear me the last time, please stick to the topic, if you would. A question or comment for Dr. Mike Castle. Well, I guess
is that Lucy? They're going to drag the football away just before you get ready to kick it.
I guess they don't want to stick to the topic, so that's a deterrent, I guess. All right. Forget about that, Seth. All right. We're not going to waste any more time trying to make contact with somebody that doesn't want to speak. So, and that's presuming that it's on their end, the problem. Okay, your comments about any of this?
Well, as I said, there seems to be a preponderance of this type of foreclosure activity live and well in Ohio, but very, very, very much hidden. We got a governor's race here, and Strickland and Kasich, and it's very, very laughable. You know, Don, you still can't get a word into Kasich, if he were to become the governor, you still can't get a word into his campaign or to him. I mean, he's out here bragging that he's going to use innovation, going to go to the people. When's he planning on doing that? You know, I mean, Strickland, in fact, I got his number years ago trying to contact his office. You know, I developed this stuff I called Casoline, which is something made out of alcohol and orange oil, as, in essence, and it burns in gasoline engines.
I'm just breaking in here.
It's a perfect substitute for gasoline.
I'm just breaking in here. I apologize. We do have a guest. This guest has had a little difficulty getting on the air. I had Doug. We are teaching Doug to engineer here a bit, but we're having a little difficulty with one of our guests. So if you're there, I'd like you to please speak up.
This is a caller, you mean, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Caller, okay. Are you there?
I'll try one more time.
Caller, are you there? Hello?
Nope. Doesn't
caller?
Sound like...
Yes, I'm here.
There she is.
Oh, there she is. You have to push the button, Doug.
Yeah, actually, it wasn't really Doug's fault. I think Seth had the unit. Seth actually left the unit in mute.
Okay.
There's like actually four buttons we have to push, and
okay.
One of them was not pushed, or the whole unit was actually not pushed.
Well, like I said, push the button.
Yeah, well, exactly. So, you're right.
Okay.
It's a button pusher. I'm a button pusher. I knew.
Okay, who is this young lady on the line with us?
I don't know, but I apologize to her. Lady, please forgive us. We actually try to do our best around here at BBS Radio. If you forgive us, we'll give you a free month's pass to the archives. You just send us an email at contact@bbsradio.com, and we'll take care of you. My pleasure.
That's very nice.
My pleasure.
You're going to have everybody doing that now.
Well, I...
Okay. Well, your name first, please.
And you couldn't hear. My name is Judy.
Hi, Judy. Okay.
Hi.
Hello, Judy.
I tried three times, so I apologize because my voice is so rough, and I did want to call in because when Mike was talking about the chemtrail issue, and just so that you could hear what the chemtrails do to me and to my voice, I was traveling today from Boise, and they sprayed very heavily in the Boise area. So as soon as they sprayed, there went my voice. And so I haven't had a voice all day, but I still wanted to call in just to let people know how it can affect them. And if they have the same voice problem that I do, they might know what is causing it. And also, I just had noticed, I just checked, since I have been gone for a few days, I checked to see what was on Coast to Coast tonight. And I wanted you to both know, if you didn't know already, they will be discussing chemtrails probably in starting in about 10 minutes. They have the guest on, Edward Griffin.
I know
also
Ed Griffin.
Michael Murphy will be talking about chemtrails. That's what is on tonight. So if a person out there, persons are interested in this subject, they might want to tune into that too, because the more we can learn about this, the better it's going to be.
Yes. Well,
we wanted to tell you both how much I appreciate you just being on the air to help to alert people and to help educate them on this issue. And I'm sorry, yes. I have such a rough voice, but it's the chemtrails that cause it every time.
Listen, get a glass of very warm water and saturate it with some sea salt, if you can do that, okay? Put lots of sea salt in there and then gargle it, okay? It'll heal that up.
My Himalayan salt in there. Well, and I use Mike's method where the moisture, too, but if your room is too big, it's hard to fill up the room with the moisture. You know, you have to stay over the stove, and I don't want to stay over the stove. I want to be on my computer.
Well, it's great to hear you, Judy.
Yes, David.
And also, I don't know if you've ever tried that, but just take a good glass of water, and instead of the sea salt, you know, I think I've said before, like, oh, maybe a half a teaspoon of the Whittler's Triple X Dark, and sip on that. I'm telling you, it does in fact alleviate, because it is the dibromides. That's exactly what gets you in your voice box. It dries it out. It's just like it does your airway, you know, and it just keeps everything clogged up or closed. So it does the same thing to the bronchial tubes as well. So
half a teaspoon in a glass of water?
About a half a teaspoon, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, virtually nothing that you can see or taste, but just knowing what it does, when it contacts anything halogenated, it in fact will complex it and debrominate it.
Okay.
Only way you can describe
it. I will try it. I have the Willard's water, so I will go do that.
Now try not to do so much sunbathing also.
Oh, I try to stay out when they spray in the skies. I hibernate. I like to be outside, but not when they're spraying.
No, this is insane. I mean, when you think about this, there are people outside spraying toxins in the air. I mean, it's crazy. Think about that.
You know. No, it goes beyond insanity, and I can tell you, Don, the caller, Judy, has been one of the best activists I've ever seen against this, trying to get the message out, passing out DVDs. She personally handed Glenn Beck a DVD on the chemtrails, Lines in the Sky, and all that, you know. But did you hear one peep from Glenn Beck about any of that? I don't think so. I didn't.
No.
Well,
no,
I heard today, a friend told me just this evening after I got home, in another state, she told me that he is having some problems. He's taking a medical leave, and they think it is heavy metals and toxins that he has in him that is causing the problems, and he's going to a special hospital. Now, that's the first I've heard it, and I told her, I said, well, he certainly needs to read that chemtrail material. That's
certainly
that could be what
absolutely he does.
So you're hopefully maybe right. Somebody that might know him or hears this, they might suggest that to him. He
would think
him, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got his email address. Of course, everybody does. But.
Well, Judy, stay on the line so they can get your information. I know he said shoot him an email, but you might stay on the line, and they'll take you off air. They'll get your information so you can get the archives.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks for calling in, too. And
Judy.
Take care of your throat.
I will.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Oh, man. You see, well, that wasn't her fault. That was the button, you see, or the buttons.
Oh, that just worked out great. Got a freebie on the archive. That's worth a lot. I just had somebody ask me the other day about that. And I said, oh, I can't do anything. I don't know anybody. But that's great the way that worked out. Yeah, it sure is. No, they spray these trails, and it's what I was telling you about did not come from commercial aircraft. The ones that we've seen today absolutely were coming from a combination of commercial and military aircraft. And Anita called earlier this morning, and she said these jets were flying. This wasn't the same aircraft. These were multiple aircrafts flying almost in a large vectored area. So it was by all means, it included military aircraft. And when somebody says military aircraft, the only thing I can think of is that spray wing of the Air Force up in Youngstown, Ohio. Mm-hmm. And they've been involved in a lot of this stuff. And that's real close to your neck of the woods as well.
Okay. Well, I guess we're going to do we'll probably do a monthly thing. Where we get a magic caller. We'll call it the magic caller. And a magic caller is going to get a magic pass for a free month of archives at bbsradio.com. Whether you want just this show or all the shows.
Hey, you know, I'm looking forward to that. I'll wait until they offer an all expense paid trip to Bauqui. <You know? laughs> then I'll call in.
Well, I have to work that out with a different sponsor. So, but I'm told someday it'll be done. So,
I know it will. we're destined to be free of the bonds of these reptilian monsters, whatever one wants to call them. It's right in your face, and they're accelerating. Sure they are.
Mm-hmm.
But we found something that, in fact, can make our life a little better. We're just shining. We're spitting the truth of or fire of truth on them. They can't stand it, but they're all engaged. They're extremely engaged, and it's right down to your local level. And all you have to do is, in fact, ask them questions point blank, and you don't have to be nice. Understand?
Yeah.
You don't have to be nice to these people. They've got a job that they must do, and they're going to do it whether it hurts you, affects you, your kids. You're going to get the vaccinations. We're going to set you up, so you've got to have these vaccinations. Even the people that work at the county level, guess what? As I warned the local sheriff around here, you guys are first. You're going to be mandatorily forced to take these vaccines. Now we know that that is coming. It's happening across the United States. So you just can't tell anybody anything. They just think that there's a reason why we're trying to get this information to them. But they won't take the time to read to know that this is absolute gospel that we're trying to get to you, and you're going to hurt yourself irreversibly if, in fact, if you go through with it before they start hurting us. Well, they already are.
Yeah.
They're already doing that. So,
you know, you reminded me of something, and I guess in a way Judy's call reminded me of something too. And, you know, we don't play that much music on the show. We're not running commercials right now, so I figure we could. I was listening to a song today. This song goes back a ways. It was originally recorded by the late Marvin Gaye. And the I never really paid attention to the lyrics. I was so much into grooving to the music that I really never paid attention to the lyrics. But in light of what's going on today, this song was prophetic. Can I play it for you with your permission?
Please. Please.
This is the Michael McDonald version of Mercy, Mercy Me.
My
radiation in the ground and in the sky. Animals and birds are nearby and die. And the mercury in the fish and in the sea. How prophetic was that song?
You're absolutely right.
You know, it sums up everything we talked about. He didn't talk about the housing fraud, the mortgage fraud. Didn't talk about that, but didn't need to.
Or the drugs.
Or the shape-shifting.
The shape-shifting. That's classic Mike McDonald Doobie Brothers, that's for certain.
Well, yeah, that's actually a solo album that he did. That isn't the Doobies, just so you know. But
no, that was a solo, yeah.
Yeah, that's from his Motown Hits album. I thought it would be a nice change. Drew Raines is telling me Marvin is better. Marvin is good too, Drew. I didn't have Marvin up here, so I had to use Michael. Well, that sums it up. You know, often listening to music, all the answers are right there. I mean, certainly you see what's wrong. You know, so many composers and recording artists have made many, many comments, political comments and social comments about how crazy the world is. And really, you know, that song just touches it in a sort of almost a gospel way because it, you know.
Yes. You're right.
Marvin, as an entertainer, was always looking for inspiration outside of himself and always wrote about things that moved him. Certainly, that song came out around the middle of the Vietnam War, too. So that was certainly perceptive on his part. And he himself died at the end of a gun. How ironic.
At a very young age. You know, when I first heard that song, you know what I thought it was? He was talking about, you know, when when you see an extremely beautiful woman, you go, oh, mercy, mercy me. I thought that's what he was talking about, but you slapped on a whole new dimensions. I, too, was guilty of not listening to the lyrics.
Well, you might have had that mixed up with another song that he had out in his comeback in the 80s.
Oh, I could have. Yeah, could have.
Or What's Going On. Maybe you mixed it up with that. But there was another song about how people are being mistreated, you know, even back then.
What's Going On? Yeah.
Came out. And there was a...
Yeah, didn't he sing Mrs. Jones as well?
No, that was Billy Paul sang Me and Mrs. Jones.
Oh, okay. I like that song, too.
Yeah. Our keyboardist played on that track with Billy Paul. Harold Williams, fantastic piano player and organist. This guy was just scary good.
See, there's so many things that you've done, Don. I mean, so many artists that you've played with, played their music or been keyboard or mixer, recording, all the things that you do. You could, in fact, you could do a whole book on your past and how you got the title of maestro. That's what I've always known you as, maestro. So, and I've got a good example in my mind, the things that you've done and that you told me yourself, that you've worked with so many of those old artists. That doesn't mean you're old. You're certainly not old.
I'm getting up there, too.
Well, I know. Well, we are. But we've talked about Columbus and Dayton, and you work with some of these back from the 60s and the 70s, and I remember all those. Now, back when I was a kid, that was about the same era. I played in little rock bands, and we were little for our time. But we got good as far as Dayton goes, but you know, Well, I wanted a car because I got my driver's license. I wanted a car. My dad said, you want a car, you got to have money for insurance. That's exactly what he said. He always called it insurance. So, in fact, I gave up the band to work at Flippin' Burgers at a place called Burger Chef when I was a senior, just so I could get a car, and I did. I got my money from my insurance, and I got me a 63 Chevy Biscayne. I slapped some good old chrome reverse wheels with big slicks on it and put me a Vibrasonic on the radio. I had it made.
Well, nowadays they should call it bailout money because that's all it's become. Anyway.
I guess so. Yeah. Anyways, all those interesting times.
Well, we're out of time, Dr. Mike, but I want to thank you for filling in for Dr. Ott. It's been fun. And we covered some ground on a few topics tonight, and I appreciate you, the work that you're doing, and you're going to be with us Wednesday, so you be thinking about what you'd like to talk about on Wednesday. And
yeah, I'd like to pick up on some of the things we touched on this evening.
I'll either okay it or I'll shoot it down, so no.
No, we'll pick up on some more of the things we've started this evening. Maybe go to some other topics if you'd like, but I still think the chemtrails should be in everybody's top drawer, because while they're doing all this to us, guess what? They're still spraying you with chemtrails. I want them to stop. I agreed with someone today when they said, how are we going to get them stopped? She said, I think somebody's going to have to die. And I said, you know what? I'm getting very, very close to that same conclusion, because I don't know that they will, because they all lie. They just lie to people's faces. So it's very unfortunate that it might have to come to that, but it's going to have to come to something, because when I see the chemistry they're putting out here right now, it's even more toxic than it used to be, Don, if you can imagine that. So listen, appreciate you bringing me on your show. You have a good day tomorrow, and appreciate you very much myself, sir.
All right, thank you. Maybe we'll find another use for pig iron in getting rid of the chemtrails. You never know.
Okay.
All right, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, and tonight's fill-in guest, Dr. Mike Castle. Dr. Mike will be with us this Wednesday, so be sure to tune in. Tomorrow night, my guest is going to be Mr. Michael Anthony, and we're going to have an interesting discussion on similar lines to what we talked about tonight. Michael is an herbalist, a historian. He's an environmental scientist and chemist, and also a musician. So it should be a very interesting discussion. I want to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting the show. Comments from Drew Raines as well. Thank our caller, Judy, for listening to the show and calling in and sharing her chemtrail experience with us. Over at BBS Radio, I want to thank, I got big thanks tonight. Seth Hendrick on the sound, Don and Doug Newsom on the sound, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.